by August. Come on. Cult leaders should never get high on their own supply. My MAGA faithful, put on your Nikes and watch me drink all this delicious Kool-Aid. It's all mine. Yum, 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 yum. I'm the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah. I can't feel my fingers. Why am I so sleepy? Why am I... And now Jonathan Karl has released audio from the summer of 2021 showing just how deeply Trump believed this nonsense.
You don't really think there's a way you would get reinstated before the next election, do you?
I'm not going to explain it to you, Jonathan, because you wouldn't either understand it or write it.
I'm not going to explain it to you, Jonathan, you know. I know how it would work, Jonathan, but you wouldn't understand. How about you tell me how you would get me reinstated? To stop the Satan cabal, Frito Banditos, or whatever the chock full of nutsos are yammering to me about. What's your idea, John? Now let's talk about Trump's new immigration plan. It's just like the old one, but with more worser. And no surprise, this plan has the same old author, Trump advisor Stephen Miller. Miller's new plan includes some of Trump's greatest hits, like sweeping raids and mass deportations, alongside fresh horrors, rounding up undocumented people and detaining them in giant camps to make the giant internment camps sound a little more family-friendly. Miller assured reporters that the camps would look professional. Professional? Fuh-shoo! It may be a giant step down the road to totalitarianism, but on the bright side, no Crocs. Now, this is all made a lot Hitlerier by the fact that Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, claims Trump once told him Hitler did a lot of good things. Okay, I think we have enough data points. Have we proven that Trump is a fascist? To find out, let's bring out the Donald Trump dictatometer. Here we go. Trump calls his opponents vermin, says he will crush those who disagree with him, holds on to power at all costs, would declare martial law to stop an imaginary evil cabal, plans to put people in camps, and says Hitler had some good ideas. Jim? He's gone, and he's never coming back, because our joke solved everything.
Donald
Trump.
In honor of our great veterans on Veterans Day, we pledge to you that we will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country.
Be Heil! Heil!
Donald
Trump.
Space not to love.
Donald Trump.
He's a great disgrace, so be Heil! Heil!
Donald
Trump.
Space.
Donald Trump
says
the threat from outside forces is far less sinister, dangerous, and grave than the threat from within.
Be Heil! Heil!
Donald Trump.
Space been hurt.
Donald Trump
says
it could certainly happen in reverse. They've done something that nobody thought would happen. They've done indictments in order to win an election. It could certainly happen in reverse. What they've done is they've released the genie out of the box. You understand that?
Be Heil! Heil!
Donald Trump.
Space. Are we not the Superman? Aryan pure Superman?
Yeah, we are the Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order.
Donald Trump.
This world new order. Everyone a foreign race. We love
Donald Trump.
Space when we bring to the world disorder. When
Donald Trump
says
our threat is from within.
Be Heil! Heil! Raiden.
Donald Trump.
Space not to love.
Donald Trump.
He's a great disgrace, so be Heil! Heil! Raiden.
Donald Trump.
Space.
Thank you.
Donald.
Junf.
Says.
We pledge to you that we will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country.
Be higher, higher, right?
Donald.
Junf.
Space, not to law.
Donald.
Junf.
It's a great disgrace, so be higher, higher. Right in
Donald
Trump's
face.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Adelia. I'm from Ghent, and I'm 11.
I'm 15, and I'm not feeling my best, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and this is what I have to do.
We're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We're sometimes joined by our friend Atia or some other pals. We have a couple that we're hoping will join us soon. But today, it seems to be the three of us. And so we're going to talk about some books and or bookish things. I'm excited to hear from you both. Why don't we start this week with Adelia? What did you want to share today?
I read the Percy Jackson series for a while. I was reading this, and then I kept going onto the Heroes of Olympus series, which uses the same characters, but it's a different series. But then I got sick of it because it was too much Percy Jackson, so I took a big break, and now I'm starting up again, and it's really good. So I just wanted to say, if there's like a series that you like, but you've read too much of, then take a break and then you can go back to it.
I've heard about both of these series over the years, but I haven't read them, so I always forget. Could you give us like the basic setup for the first series and then whatever appropriate setting you think for the second?
Yeah, so they're pretty similar, but Percy Jackson is a demigod because his father is Poseidon and his mother is immortal. And amortal, not immortal. So he's like half a god, and he goes to this camp called Camp Half-Blood. Oh my god, it's been a while. And he meets a bunch of other kids who are half-bloods or demigods, and they fight evil people, and it's all in like the Greek mythology world, but it's also in the normal world. So it's very cool and very good, just teenagers fighting monsters, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, that's kind of it. And then the next series, they go into like, there's a camp for Roman half-bloods there, and they now, they're in Greek mythology and Roman mythology, and they're the same gods, but they're different gods and goddesses, but they're different names. So it's a little confusing, but then they meet more kids and then they end up together to battle big battles, big monsters and stuff.
And so you've dived back into the Heroes of Olympus series?
Yeah.
Was it easy to dive back in, or did you have to like refresh your memory?
Some of these things I had to remember, but most things I didn't. It's pretty easy.
Have you read that series, Jada? I can't remember. You've talked about it.
I read it, and then I got upset with all the suspense, so we skipped ahead because that's how I roll.
Skipped ahead. Yeah. I know some people that do that as well. I'm not one of them. I love the suspense. Keeps me reading. But I've never read those books, and I think I would have loved them when I was a tween or teen because I really was interested in mythology when I was your age or younger. I can't remember exactly when. But I think I would have loved them, but they were not out yet when I was your age. I know so many people that have loved those series. And he has his own, I don't know if it's an imprint or a series, but the Rip Reardon Presents books, where they're not written by him. It's kind of like has his stamp of approval. And I'm not sure if he has any other role aside from that, but different authors write different books. Some, I think most of them are multiple books in a series that are focused on different areas of the world or different cultures and the mythologies from those cultures. They seem really cool. So someday maybe I'll check one of those out. Who knows? Have you ever read any of those?
No, I haven't heard of them or read them, but they sound interesting.
Yeah, I think they sound cool for, especially for people that are interested in mythology and like sort of those epic adventures with like a little bit of like often a little bit of magical seeming stuff and fun. Well, I hope you continue enjoying it. I know there's another series as well that I've heard is very good. I forget, it's like Hammer of Thor and stuff.
People should stop making so many series. We need to catch up with what's already happening.
Yeah, he reads Magnus Chase.
That's honestly turned me off of so many series because they just keep on coming out with books when I barely started it. Like, give it a break. They're literally churning it out like every 6 months. I know you're using ChatGPT. Like, you can't lie to me.
Well, I don't know that ChatGPT was around when Rick Riordan was writing these books, but
I mean now it's
but yeah, so the Hammer of Thor is one of the books in the Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard series. And I've heard that series is very good. It's won some awards, and I think if I was gonna check out one of his series, I'd probably go for that one first. But we'll see. If it ever happens, will I ever read Rick Riordan? Who knows? But anyways, thanks for sharing, Adelia. And Jada, what did you want to share today?
I'm starting. I joined a couple of clubs in my online school, and I'm doing this writing thing where we all have to write X amount of words, and our entire goal as a club is to write 1 million words by the end of November. So I'm just, you know, I'm writing as much as I can. So far, I have 20,385 words written. Within 7 days. So I think I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. Is it?
It's nice actually having a word count. I write on notes mostly because I just like the way it's organized. And notes doesn't have a word count as far as I know. So it's just nice to have that.
Interesting. Are you doing this like at the NaNoWriMo?
Yeah.
Thing? Yeah. It's National Novel Writing Month, right?
I think so. They also have a poetry writing month.
Oh, cool.
We're going to do that too. And I think we're also going to focus on, because each month is a different thing, and then we're going to focus on writing plays, and we're going to, you know, do all sorts of stuff like that. So that should be fun.
Do you prefer writing novels or poems or graphic novels or
all of them? Plays? But just like writing.
You like it all?
As long as it's fiction.
So for this month, are you just writing one story, or are you skipping around? Because I know you write a lot of different stories. Like, is your word count goal towards one book or towards several books for you?
I already passed the word count for one of them, so I'm writing another one, and I'm not changing it because I like having the rights of a winner, because there you get a winner's page and all sorts of stuff, and you're going to be able to publish books, and it's awesome.
Is your online club, is it all people your age, or is it a diverse age group?
Well, there are two parts to the club. We all meet as one group, and then we split up on the NaNoWriMo. So there's, I think, high school writers and then middle school writers. Middle school and elementary, I think. So, yeah.
Must be nice to connect with other people on that. Do you all share your work, or do you just check in on how far you've gone?
Don't really share our work unless we, you know, copy paste the two like group chats. Or...
Oh, well, good luck to your club. It sounds like you've already hit your goal, but hopefully they all.
I'm going to keep writing. I want to help everyone get, because we only have like 147,000 something words. So I'm determined to help bring that up.
Great. Well, for this week, I have a couple books that are recent releases that I wanted to highlight. And then I also have some poems I can share. So I'll share a couple of books written for teens. The first one I'll highlight is a book called Check and Mate by Allie Hazelwood, and it's suggested for ages 14 to 17 or grades 9 to 12. And I think this is her first book for young adults. She's a very popular adult contemporary romance author. She has a number of books that have come out in recent years that are all very popular, but I'm pretty sure this is her first book for teens. And let's see, yep, it is. Facts. It is a YA debut. So here's the description. Mallory Greenleaf is done with chess. Every move counts nowadays. After the sport led to the destruction of her family 4 years earlier, Mallory's focus is on her mom, her sisters, and the dead-end job that keeps the lights on. That is, until she begrudgingly agrees to play in one last charity tournament and inadvertently wipes the board with notorious King Killer Nolan Sawyer, current world champion and reigning bad boy of chess. Nolan's loss to an unknown rookie shocks everyone. What's even more confusing? His desire to cross pawns again. What kind of gambit is Nolan playing? The smart move would be to walk away, resign, game over. But Mallory's victory opens the door to sorely needed cash prizes, and despite everything, she can't help feeling drawn to the enigmatic strategist. As she rockets up the ranks, Mallory struggles to keep her family safely separated from the game that wrecked it in the first place. And as her love for the sport she so desperately wanted to hate begins to rekindle, Mallory quickly realizes that the games aren't only on the board. The spotlight is brighter than she imagined, and the competition can be fiercely attractive and intelligent and infuriating.
So what's it called again?
It's called Check and Mate by Allie Hazelwood.
Is it a graphic novel? I wanted to.
It's not. It's a novel.
Make a graphic novel adaptation right now. I love graphic novels.
It's actually, the cover of the book is very illustrated, and so you can imagine what it would be like as a graphic novel. I also am fascinated with the world of chess being described as a sport.
It is a sport because it's used into like, I am getting back into it. I actually played a tournament once when I was younger through one of my tree schools. I was, very funny stories came out of that. I was like 7-ish, I think. So that was fun. I'm getting back into chess.
Cool.
So yeah, professional leagues, here I come. Here's hoping I become some sort of famous grandmaster so people pay me for playing it.
But yeah, it makes me curious, like, why is it a sport? Or like, what makes a sport a sport?
I think it's having to use your intellect in some degree. Like, it is working muscles, you know, because your brain is a muscle. And you can form on teams and you can play it in clubs.
But then why wouldn't every game be a sport? Or is it? I don't know.
Maybe it is, but I guess people just take people who play chess more seriously than people who play competitive Uno.
Competitive Uno.
exactly why it's not a sport. Or maybe it is, but people just don't take it seriously.
Yeah. I'm just curious, like, who defines sport? The dictionary? Some sports body out there? I don't know. But no disrespect to chess. Chess is hard work. I know the basics of chess, but I'm not good at, like, planning moves ahead. I've just never been.
I play with my family, and Aaliyah is very much she type of person to look at Uno cards while dealing them out, you know, so...
talking about chess.
Yeah, I know, but I play with chess in her. So that gets very annoying because, like I just told you, she has a very big tendency to cheat. She made me give her back the queen and give her three do-overs like four times. Because that's apparently she can't stand being beaten by her much superior sister.
Got it. Anyways, check in mate Allie Hazelwood is out now. Check it out. Another book that is out that sounds interesting is a historical fiction called Artifice by Sharon Cameron. And this one is suggested for ages 12 and up. And this is the description. Issa DeSmit was raised in the vibrant, glittering world of her parents' small art gallery in Amsterdam, a hub of beauty, creativity, and expression, until the Nazi occupation wiped the color from her city's palette. The degenerate art of the Gallery de Smit is confiscated, the artists in hiding or deported, her best friend Truus fled to join the shadowy Dutch resistance, and masterpiece by masterpiece, the Nazis are buying and stealing her country's heritage, feeding the Third Reich's ravenous appetite for culture and art. When the unpaid taxes threaten her beloved but empty gallery, Issa decides to make the Nazis pay. She sells them a Rembrandt copy drawn by her talented father, a sale that sets Issa perilously close to the second most hated class of people in Amsterdam, the collaborators. Issa sells her beautiful forgery to none other than Hitler himself, and on the way to the auction, discovers that Truus is part of a resistance ring to smuggle Jewish babies out of Amsterdam. But Truus cannot save more children without money, a lot of money, and Issa thinks she knows how to get it. One more forgery, a copy of an exquisite Vermeer, and the Nazis will pay for the rescue of the very children they are trying to annihilate. To make the sale, though, Issa will need to learn the art of a master forger before the children can be deported and before she can be outed as a collaborator. And she finds an unlikely source to help her do it, the young Nazi soldier, a blackmailer and thief of Dutch art, who now says he wants to desert the German army. Yet, worth is not always seen from the surface, and a fake can be difficult to spot, both in art and in people. Based on the true stories of Han van Meegeren, a master art forger who sold fakes to Hermann Göring, and Johann van Holst, credited with saving 600 Jewish children from death in Amsterdam, Sharon Cameron weaves a gorgeously evocative thriller simmering with twists that looks for the forgotten color of beauty even in an ugly world. That was a long description, but it sounds like a really interesting book. And I've had a couple books I've read this year that touched on the topics of both like Vermeer and forgeries of his work, and also on artists who did not survive the Holocaust. And it's just, you know, heartbreaking to see the loss of life. You see amazing artists' works that, you know, they have this huge catalog of work, and somebody whose life is cut short, it's you see it in the lack of their art, that their life was cut short, sadly. But yeah, I like this this resistance game. I hope she can successfully get the job done. But that's Artifice by Sharon Cameron.
Sounds interesting.
Hi, Fatia.
Hi.
We just finished talking about some books. Do you have something you wanted to share today?
Yes, I have a poem to share today.
Great.
It is called A Library Poem. Everyone is welcome to walk through the door. It really doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. There are books in boxes and books on shelves. They're free for you to borrow, so help yourselves. Come and meet your heroes, old and new, from William the Conqueror to Winnie the Pooh. You can look into the mirror or read the Times, or bring along a toddler to chant some rhymes. The library's a friend who loves to lend. So see if there's a book that she can recommend. Read that book, and if you're bitten, you can borrow all the other ones. the author's written? Are you into battles or biography? Are you seam or girth builds or geography? Gardening or ghosts, sharks or science fiction? There's something here for everyone. Whatever you add, kitchen, there are students revising deep in constriction and school kids doing projects, finding inspiration over in the corner. There's a table with seating, so come along and join in the book club meeting. Yes, come to the library, browse and borrow, and help make sure it stay be here tomorrow.
You know I love a library poem.
Yeah.
I'm a biased audience, obviously, but that was lovely. I can relate to that. I also am a library lover, and I've been in Hudson for some time, but I feel like if I ever move somewhere, first thing I'm going to do is find the library, get my library card. I'm not planning to move, don't worry, but I have fond memories of my various libraries through the years, and I, of course, love ours. Thank you for sharing the poem. I can also read a poem. I've been trying to share some poems written by Native American poets during Native American Heritage Month, and I find these on poets.org under their Poems for Kids section for Native American Heritage Month. And so this week I've got one by Laura Da, who I've never actually read her work before. She's the author of Instruments of the True Measure and Tributaries, and she lives near Seattle, Washington. And this poem is called Passive Voice, and it is from Tributaries. I use a trick to teach students how to avoid passive voice. Circle the verbs, imagine inserting by zombies after each one. Have the words been claimed by the flesh-hungry undead? If so, passive voice. I wonder if these sixth graders will recollect on summer vacation as they stretch their legs on the way home from Yellowstone or Yosemite, and the byway's historical marker beckons them to the site of an Indian village where trouble was brewing, where after further hostilities, the army was directed to enter, where the village was razed after the skirmish occurred, where most were women and children. Riveted bramble of passive verbs, etched in wood, stripped hands, breaking up from the dry ground to pinch the meat of their young red tongues. That's Passive Voice by Laura Da.
That didn't really make much sense to me.
No? I think it might help if you saw it, because she's talking about the use of passive voice and avoiding using it. And then there's the part where she's talking about the historical marker on the side that's, you know, highlighting the history of an Indian village. And so the signs will say, like, where trouble was brewing, where after further hostilities, the army was directed to enter, where the village was razed after the skirmish occurred, where most were women and children. So she's using the passive voice there. So it might be easier if you read it, because you can see the italics in there. I'll read one more short one before we get too close to December. I'll read a poem called Autumn, and this is by Alexander Posey, who was a Muscogee Creek poet, journalist, and humorist. He was born in the 1870s. So this is called Autumn. In the dreamy silence of the afternoon, a cloth of gold is woven over wood and prairie, and the jaybird, newly fallen from the heaven, scatters cordial greetings, and the air is filled with scarlet leaves that, dropping, rise again as ever with a useless sigh for rest, and it is autumn. Short and sweet poem about the autumn. I like it. And before we go for today, did anyone have anything else they wanted to share? Anything they're looking forward to in the coming weeks? Patia, how about you? Anything you're looking forward to in the coming weeks?
Not really. I'm just excited for school.
Do you have a favorite class that you're most excited for, or an event or activity?
ELA and math and social studies and science.
So most of the classes.